everybody. What's up? Gonna get right into it today. This is People Pleaser. If you've never listened to the show before, the top of the show lately. I've been reading. Basically, you can go on Apple Podcasts, review the show you can rate it 5 stars and leave a review. And if you rate it 5 stars, I'll read that review on the show and review you back. And I can also plug anything you want plugged. If you got something you want me to plug, I can do that. But, you know, let me know who you are and I'll review you back. It works like this. The one I'm reading today says, excellent podcast, 5 stars. This is from Jacob B. That's Jacob Barnes, good friend of mine. And he writes, this is a podcast for true Renaissance people, as Austin is a true Renaissance man. Whether it is spirituality or tipping your server, Austin and his guests seek to analyze and find the truth in various topics of life, at least their version of the truth. I have found it valuable to my own expansion of knowledge. I find myself repeating ideas to others that I learned here. It also makes for great ammo in your small talk arsenal. I like that. I now have these little snippets of interesting information to start conversations with total strangers at parties. Seriously, that is valuable. Austin's conversations are so engaging, I end up yelling at my radio as I implant myself into the debates. Go listen, it will not disappoint. All right. So it's just like that. You go on to Apple Podcasts, rate the show 5 stars, leave a review. I read it on the show and I say something like this about you. That was my buddy Jacob Barnes. And he's the best, you guys. I'm so lucky to be friends with Jake Barnes. He's got such a determination in him and such a fire. It's not a can-do attitude that he operates with. It's a will-do. It's a I dare you to try and stop me from doing attitude, because nothing on this earth or in this universe is going to stop me from doing. He operates with such passion and such devotion to whatever it is he's trying to do it's really inspiring. And he always kind of gets my motor going. Every time I go out to lunch with him or go spend an afternoon just talking with him, I always leave energized and invigorated about working on some creative project or like getting my ass in gear and trying to find representation or, you know, making stuff happen, because he's a go-getter and he wants to do things. He doesn't want to just sit around and talk about them. And so he gets to work and he's a hard worker. He's so talented. I love talking to him about music because, he and I both have the same – we listen to music with the same kind of ferocious passion, where we just love getting into all the layers. We like listening to it nice and turned up, nice and loud. And that's Jake Barnes. Jake, thanks for writing in. And that's what we do at the top of the show here. Hope everyone's doing all right out there in the just ever elongating pandemic, this surreal time. It's weird, you know. I got another conversation here on the show today that was recorded before all this started happening, and I don't know, I kind of find it to be nice, you know, to have some content that just talks about something other than all this. I mean, I'm going to talk about it a little bit in the intro, but I think this is all I have for the pre-intro. I'm just going to get to the show, okay? All right. Here we go. Oh, day jobs. Remember those? Or just jobs in general. You know, those things we went to every day before, well, you know. Some of you out there are still going to work, but if you're one of millions of people like me who got laid off, furloughed, or just put on pause during this surreal time, then the hustle and bustle of the daily grind, the commute, the rush hour traffic, the annoying customers, and the occasional less than ideal quarrel with a coworker are all beginning to become fading memories as old reliable hobbies return and documentaries about Polygamous tiger sex, meth, and murder cults fill our days. The silver lining of our temporary unemployment is we get to experience a brief respite to reflect and to return to who we were before we had to be constantly working to make ends meet. We can remember that we have passion, imagination, and wonder inside of us. We can drive down the freeway at 4:30 in the afternoon, not heading anywhere at all, just enjoying the fact that the traffic has all but disappeared. But make no mistake, this is a temporary respite. Because unless this thing winds up being the catalyst for the fall of modern society as we know it, and I mean, it might, but unless it does, we will all surely be returning to work sooner or later. And I think that's a good thing. Not just because we live in a capitalistic society and I need money to keep a roof over this blanket fort, but because I made a discovery a couple of years ago that for some people might seem obvious, but for me, it really changed my whole experience with the day job. I mean, the reality of the world we live in is this. Almost nobody gets to do their absolute top-of-the-list dream job. And a lot of the people who do find out that after doing it for a while, it becomes just that, a job. The experience of loving or dreading our time at whatever office we wind up at lies within us. We can try and be selective about what kind of environment we would like to work in, what kind of people we'd like to work with, but only up to a point. At a certain point, it's on us to make our mandatory hours at the day job something less akin to a chimpanzee in a cage at a zoo and more akin to the same chimpanzee mastering the fastest route up its favorite tree. Maybe not the best, most inspiring metaphor, but okay, see, the discovery I made was that work for me goes a lot smoother if I just find it in me to give a damn. And I wind up enjoying it a lot more too. I used to feel like giving anything more than the bare minimum at a day job would take away from the precious little energy I needed to reserve for my creative pursuits. So I tortured myself at my day job by resenting it so much. I made it a prison. But by deciding to invest in it and deciding to actually try and be a good server, the same way I try so hard to be a good actor or a good writer or a good musician, I found it to be much less of a punishment. I was able to take pride in what I did rather than be ashamed it wasn't something more glamorous or lucrative. And yeah, I'd still almost always rather be doing something more me, like acting or making music or podcasting or writing or anything like that for my money, but while I remain an obscure, unknown, poor artist, and a restaurant remains the best place I can work with a flexible enough schedule to still make my obscure, unknown art, I might as well enjoy my time at that restaurant. My guest today is kind of a master at this. She didn't have to have the grand revelation that I had. Work ethic and taking pride in whatever she does is simply in her blood. She'd never dream of giving the bare minimum at anything. Now, we recorded this conversation about 4 weeks ago when the world was an entirely different place than it is right now. But I think that it still works as a good mindset to strive for when we all eventually prepare to re-enter the workforce and return to some semblance of our normal routines. So, here we go. From a Blanket Fort recording studio in my one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today I'm talking to my good friend Sarah Walker about day jobs.
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah.
Oh, I'm Sarah. Sarah Walker.
Welcome, Sarah. First question for you. How has, this is how I wrote it out, how has magnifying your role at your day job affected your experience there?
Okay.
I guess, I mean, that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about, like, making the most of working in a field that maybe wasn't your first, second, or third
choice.
Like
my dream job, yeah.
Yeah, and I think so many people, that's the reality of their life, is, like, they, the thing that they actually pay their bills with, the thing that they actually pay rent with and buy groceries with, is not the thing that they're most excited about or most passionate about. But I think that you've been doing a great job, at least it seems like from afar, at making the most of the place that you work. And how is that, like, how has that been for you?
Okay, so I feel like I should give background.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in a family, like, my parents are business owners. They started their own business with two computers side by side, kind of whole situation, you know. And
ooh,
now they
Steve
own
Jobs
like
style.
Yeah, like they do insurance, so it's pretty what do you call it? Secure. Pretty secure. But my parents built their own business, and now they own a ton of offices and they have a ton of employees, and they have this whole situation over in North Carolina.
You come from an entrepreneurial...
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I feel like I have that spirit in my blood. But yeah, so
and
I moved
dad,
out to...
My dad what? Built a business too.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I got to watch that process. Especially, yeah, when I was like 10 years old, he lost his job that he had the first 10 years of my life. And then I watched him and his friends get together and build this thing. It was really cool.
Yeah. Does he still do that?
They did. He
okay.
Sold the business and stayed on and ran it for, I think, like the last 5 or 6 years of his career. And then he retired.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I feel like that's definitely a part of who I am. And my mom is very, like, knowledge is power, always saying that. That's her favorite thing to say. So anyways, I moved out to Los Angeles. I majored in musical theater. And I feel like the thing everyone does when they move to the big city, they either get a temp, they hire or get with temp companies, or they are waiters.
Right, because they don't want a job that's going to anchor them down. They want to be able to have the freedom to... If they book that pilot, you know.
In their first year in
the
L.A.
the pilot takes off, which of course it's going to happen. You don't want to get locked down to the day job, the survival job.
Yeah. So.
Which is what I do. And it's
and
it works for me.
You wait tables. Yeah.
I need to do that also because I consider this podcast and my music and all that stuff. Spend a lot of time. It's like a full-time job on this stuff. And I would not be able to have the kind of job that you have. But I think that what you're doing is also a great way to go too. Yeah.
Thanks, Austin. Yeah. So I think even with waiting tables though, so I waited tables after I graduated high school. And I feel like even with waiting tables, all I ever wanted to do was progress into being the person that managed people. I wanted to be the top. Like, I didn't want to do, I just felt like I was done learning what I needed to learn from waiting tables. And so, like, I was ready to be the manager or the shift lead or whatever. So even once you start progressing in a job that may be seemingly inconsequential and you can get your shift covered and whatever, I would try to become more than that. And yeah.
So you've always had like an upward mobility mindset. You're always trying to get that's something I still don't have. Like if my job right now were to come to me and be like, we want to interview for a management position, I'd be like, oh, no, thank you.
Yeah. And I also don't have my own podcast, but it's cool. Like people are, you know, have
but
their own thing.
I don't make money on the podcast. I could make more money if I took the management position, I'm sure. But I like that's kind of what fuels this mindset of yours, is that you just naturally have a work ethic when it comes to whatever job you're in where you want to
progress.
Yeah, progress.
Yeah, so So I signed up with every single temp company that I could find when I moved here because I knew I didn't want to wait tables because I'll never recover from the time that I burnt my hand on this plate when I was waiting tables. And I got a job at a tech company as an office coordinator. And I went there, and the first day the girl was like, I'm going to teach you the bare minimum. Like, I'm not going to bother you. Like, she was awesome. I really liked her, and we still talk sometimes. She trained me for 2 weeks, so we became, like, pretty good friends.
I like that relationship you have with the people who train you.
Yeah.
Like, you become coworkers, and you become people who just do the same job, but, like, there's always that kind of reverence that you have for them where you're, like, trainer. Like,
yeah.
You and are she, the one who
yeah, like,
me.
You know everything, and everyone was so sad to see her leave. But basically, yeah. Like, I mean, an office coordinator typically is in a position that you want to be career-wise. You're not like a career office coordinator. You want to do something else. Like, so typically you progress into an executive assistant or a coordinator for like something more specific, like a marketing coordinator or whatever, and then you go up from there. So or whatever. So
what exactly does an office coordinator do?
So an office coordinator,
isn't there an episode of The Office where Pam, or a storyline where Pam becomes the office coordinator by just telling people that she
is? Oh, yeah. Yes.
Or the office manager.
Yes, that does happen. So, yeah, an office coordinator, like, when I first started, I started off as, like, basic receptionist. So people come up, like, and we have security downstairs, so security will call me, can this person be let up? I say yes or no. And, like, we have a list of who's expected for the day. Mm-hmm. And then basically, you'd let them up, you'd answer phones, you let people know when packages are there, you accept packages, like very like mindless work. So when I first started, I was going to tell you though, whenever I was being trained by this girl, when she told me she was going to teach me the bare minimum, like she was doing it as a favor to me, she like thought, but then I was just thinking, if I don't learn everything this girl knows, I'm not going to be able to succeed. Like, she was trying to do me a favor, like, I'm going to teach you not a lot so that you don't have a lot on your plate.
So this isn't even like a recent mindset that you've come up with. This is just kind of like in your bones. This is like in your marrow, where like any job you start, you're like, no. I need to know how I'm going to take this place over. Like,
I mean, a little bit, because in any job, I mean, even with acting, which is, you know, what I went to school for, you are 1,000,000,000,000% replaceable. Yeah. And so your job, or my job, is to become irreplaceable, like literally. Like, I want to make it so hard for them to replace me that they want to like shower me with like money. Like, seriously, like, I want them to be like, please do not leave, or please train someone for a month. Like, to tell someone every single thing that I did on a daily, that I do on a daily basis, would take me a really long time to, because not only does it vary, but also, so now I learned a lot from her, and then I was hired on at the company mainly because I wanted benefits. Because when you work for a company that is like in the tech industry, they have like a lot of random holidays. And when you're a temp, you either have to beg your manager to let you come in for extra hours.
Tech people get extra holidays? What is that, like Bill Gates Day? And like, there's extra holidays?
I mean, yeah, like, there are some, like, big companies out here in California that do, like a whole week they take off before Christmas to after New Year's. So if you are a temporary worker without benefits and without paid time off, you don't make money for that entire week. And that is, like, devastating to someone who, you know, is making temp pay.
But if you work there, you just take off before Christmas till after New Year's and you get
paid?
Not
at my company, but there are some companies. My company does, like, say, like, you have, what's a holiday? Oh, my gosh.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, so say you have that day off. They'll sometimes give you, like, the Friday off before as well. But it's, like, a paid day, right? But say you're a temp, then you don't get paid for that day. So, like, I remember one time July 4th, because I've worked there a couple of years now, but July 4th fell on this, like, on a weekend, but they also gave us extra days. So it was going to be like a full 5 days of me not getting paid. So I begged to come in, and he let me. But I, yeah. So That's why I signed on full time, kind of thing. And yeah, now I have a different boss than the one that I started with, and I do a lot of stuff. So I assist a VP with like expenses and calendar stuff. I honestly, like, literally anything in that office that you need, like, I know the answer to it, or I can direct you where to find the answer to it.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like the job that you're doing right now, that answers my first question in a way that I didn't expect it to be answered, because I thought that this was like, you were going to be like, yeah, and I found out that if I give a shit more about my day job, I do better. But this sounds like it's just something that's been a part of your mindset always, and that you've always carried this into any job that you have. So that's something I didn't know. But do you feel like the job that you're doing right now, or the different jobs that you've had, but specifically the one that you have right now, is something that you have like a natural knack for, or do you have to work at it?
Yeah, no, because I grew up with my parents having to file their stupid papers away. And I grew up doing bank runs for my parents. I took quotes because they work in insurance. I took phone calls. I took payments. I grew up in an office, you know, like my dad.
So this opened, does a little bit come, it feels like.
Yeah, it's natural for me. Like, have you ever used a post office box?
Like no, a PO actually. Box?
Yeah.
I've seen them.
So there's this thing, like when you have a PO box, that if you get a package that's too big to fit in your small box, they put a little key in your box that you have. So say you're number 10, you go to number 10 and they have a key inside that has a number on it. You take that key and you go to a bigger mailbox in the mailroom lobby or
that
whatever.
Corresponds with the key number.
Yes, and you just go and put it in and you grab your packages, but you leave the key in. The key is owned by the post office. So you keep the key in. So they do that kind of thing, right?
Huh.
So a lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
That was a part of my training whenever I started at my job.
Because is that something you do quite often?
Yeah, like for my parents. Oh, well, at my job now, I do that every day. Like I go down and get the mail.
Uh-huh.
And we have that. So if people get bigger packages, I have to grab them. But the girl was teaching me like with like so much care. She was like, this is how you do this. I know this is confusing. And I was like, what? Because I grew up getting the mail for my parents.
Yeah.
Like it just wasn't.
You're like, you're teaching me how to get mail?
Like, yeah. So, yeah, I guess it's like to
you
be
see
a
the number on the key is 34. It's imperative that you go to the box that says 34, not 43, not 35, not 33, just 30.
Exactly.
You're like what? Sometimes now, so I've worked at a lot of different restaurants, and sometimes training is like that for me when I'm training at a new restaurant. Sometimes they're saying things to me that I'm like, yes. And like every restaurant has its different quirks and has its different little like procedures and ways that they do things. So
yeah.
I do need to train at every new restaurant. I do need to know what their way of doing things is. But sometimes they'll explain to me like how to greet a table, and I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
yeah,
uh-huh.
I know.
Yeah, they'll be like, do you want to try it out? And then I go up and do it. They're like, oh, that was very good. I'm like, yeah, I've been doing this a long time. it's just, you know. But that is something I had to get comfortable with over time. I think I always thought I would be a natural at. People always think actors will be good servers too because of memorization skills and just like general people skills.
Yeah.
But it's not always true. Partially because I think it's hard to be very good at a job when you're always 1 foot out the door, and when you're like always, you don't actually commit to it because it's not your real job. It's just a thing you do to pay the bills. So you don't ever bother actually getting good at it. At least that's sort of how I did it for the first 7 or 8 years I did it. I literally was always just like, yeah, it's fine. It's easy. It's working in restaurants. It's an easy thing. I can do the bare minimum at and get paid for. It's easy.
Yeah.
It's really only been the last couple of years that I've been like, what if I tried? And it's been a big game changer.
An uphill climb.
It's been a big game changer because it makes me not as miserable there. And also, like, I make more money. And I think my bosses like me more. And I think my coworkers like me more. And I think I still piss people off sometimes because I can just be an irritable shit at work. you know.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, when I started my job, I guess I'm just not trying to be like, I'm so good at office work. What a weird thing to like want to be good at.
Have you ever had a job that you were, that you really struggled to like find joy in or find purpose in?
Well, this job, when I started, like, I'll tell my boss now, when I first started working there, like, it was full movie scene, go to the bathroom, cry, like, go to the break room, like, cry. Yeah. Just very upset with, I just don't do well with mindless work. I honestly, I think I'm too smart for, I think everyone's too smart to, like, not get any responsibility. Like, if you didn't show up for a day, no one would notice. Like, no one should have a job like that. It just doesn't, mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense. We can get, especially nowadays, like, get a robot or something if it's going to be a job that you feel like you have no purpose in. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I decided to, well, the first thing I did was I decided to start working on getting my real estate license, which I'm still doing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, I'm going to, since I'm sitting at this desk all the time, I'm going to give myself something to do. And so I was like reading real estate books and, stuff like that. And I started like writing a little bit. I tried to make the most out of just sitting at a desk feeling borderline useless. And then I decided that I really liked, so my company is a tech company. So it's, this is what I've heard or been told or whatever. But basically with these big tech companies, they want you, they want to be competitive, right? So they're trying to get the top talent, the smartest engineers, the best engineers. And all these tech companies, the thing that they fight over are the benefits. So what do you have to offer the person besides like just like a high earning job? So that would be like, for example, at my company, like we have 3 days a week, lunch provided. And we have,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's a perk, right? So, uh-huh. And then like our benefits are great. And we have like,
are you
great
on the company health plan?
Yeah.
Is,
yeah.
Pretty good.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a really good plan. And I mean, I guess I haven't had a lot of like real people jobs, like mm-hmm. adult jobs, but.
I mean, this sounds like a real person job.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm not, so I'm 24, so I could stay on my parents' insurance, but it made so much more sense for me to be on my own insurance yeah. than to be on theirs. So yeah. I just came off theirs.
And they do insurance, so they probably were like, oh no, do that plan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and then also like things like snacks, like we have like a cold brew tap, like cold brew coffee, like all this kind of stuff, right? So I'm thinking this company like spends money in a place that you wouldn't normally see in a smaller company. So my parents, their company is small, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. They probably have like 50 employees. I don't know. Like, but it's a smaller operation mm-hmm. versus like, when I first started working for my company, there were like 500 people, like yeah. in our headquarters, and that's where I am the coordinator. And so I was like, why don't we have yoga classes? Why don't we have this and that? Like, I don't really know when that spark came, but basically I realized that a lot of people at my work liked doing, because I connect with people over like fitness oriented type right. things. And I really wanted to do a yoga class because I think it was International Day of Yoga, like one of the made up days or whatever.
Yeah, there's an International Day of
yeah.
everything now. It's International, like
Pi Day.
Pi Day.
Well, Pi Day's a real one.
Like, go to Starbucks and work on your screenplay day. It's
yes, so it was International Yoga Day. And I just hit this mic thing.
The podcast is ruined. That's it. All right. Well, thanks for coming over.
I'm using my hands to
I
talk.
Doubt anyone heard it. That one is not as sensitive as this one.
Okay.
This one, if I like flick my toe on the ground, it comes up through the ground and into the mic. Can you see it? Do you see how it's resting on this blanket?
Yes.
And like it needs to be on a very cushy thing because it's the base is rooted to the ground, which is a problem. It should be on a an arm or something so that it's not. But since the base is rooted to the ground, it picks up anything that comes up through it.
You should just get another one of these.
I know.
Are they really expensive?
No. And I probably will get a new mic here sometime soon, but I'm lazy.
It makes me feel like a rock star, this circle thing.
Yeah. Are you ready? After this, we're going to lay down backup vocals for my next single.
Great.
anyway, so yes, you're at the – okay, I like this. So you're feeling unmotivated and like you're at a job with no purpose, which I think is funny that to some people that's like the dream scenario where it's like, oh cool, a job where they just kind of more or less leave me alone and no one would even notice if I don't show up.
Yeah,
that's great. I think that used to be my dream J job, was like, sign me up for the least responsibility possible because I need all of my brain space for writing plays and like getting ready for my audition. I can't like think too much about this job. But that really, for me, it's kind of an idle hands or the devil's plaything type of thing, where like if I'm too bored at the job, I really will. I'll especially, I've had jobs where I've worked in like offices where I kind of sit around and wait for phone calls, and then the rest of the time I'm on the internet farting around.
Yeah.
And oh my God, can that become just...
Yeah, because it's hard to get stuff done, like, because I did try, like, I am still trying to do real estate, which I'm going to finish, by the way. Mm-hmm. Let it be known.
I believe you.
But I think it's hard to work on even, like, real estate or writing or whatever, because it's also a job where people just come up to you whenever they want. Like, your time means nothing to them. And so they're like, oh, you, like, you can help me. And so that happens so often that it's hard to, like, get a full stream of, like, I timed myself recently, actually. And this is, like, I've worked there for almost 2 years, so people bother me more, honestly, because they think I know more. Mm-hmm. And they'll just, I timed myself trying to study, and over the course of an hour, I was able to study for 20 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, but it was like dispersed, you know, so it's hard to get a clear
30 seconds
thought.
Here, a minute there.
Yeah.
It's technically studying.
Exactly. It's hard to like, especially if you were like writing at this job, it just, you would lose your thought.
I just did an episode with this guy about brain science, and he was talking about like what memory is and how recalling is just like the neurons that, I'm not going to be able to say it the way that he said it, like neurotransmitters and neuromodulators, they send neurons and into a pattern when you experience something, and then memory is trying to recreate that same pattern and send those same things. So he goes, studying is, so even what you did, even if it doesn't feel like you're retaining, if you do it again and again and again, just like rehearsing a play, because the way that I related to it was, I was like, oh, it's almost like your neurons and your neurotransmitters in your brain are like performing the play of the thing that happened before. And he was like, yeah, so studying is like trying to run that simulation over and over again of like reading that thing. And then when you're asked to recall it on a test, you can...
Interesting.
Send the little neuron play again. So even the little minute that you got, even if it feels like it's not sticking, it's a nice little like quick run through.
Yeah, it's better than nothing, I guess.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah.
But sorry. So you start noticing that you can maybe contribute in more meaningful ways by bringing people in to do yoga.
A wellness program. So we didn't have like a full wellness program laid out. And I've heard of like people that I would just talk to there. They've worked for other really big companies that have yoga or like a softball team or, you know, like random stuff like that. That's just like bringing employees together and yada yada.
So, did you have to go to any up and ups to like ask about like, hey, can I do this? Or do you just start putting up flyers?
No. You have to get approval of everything.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So thankfully, I have a very supportive boss. I think that's one of the biggest things, especially being young, is having a mentor and being able to accept that you don't know everything and this person can help you. But at the same time, the boss has to let go of their ego and let you succeed. So, for example, with my boss, he has been in the... So, my team is basically facilities. So, we just make sure the place runs. So, like, snacks, drinks, making sure guests are taken care of, making sure employees are taken care of. We assist with events, setups of events, all that kind of stuff. So that's like our basis of our team and what we do. But basically, like, my new boss has been in that for 30 years, you know, he's been working in this field, but it also overlaps with HR pretty heavily. So HR is typically the department that does all the wellness stuff. So basically, I was coming up, I reached out to someone.
Is that typical at a lot of businesses, or is that just at yours?
For facilities and HR to overlap? Yeah. I don't know. I've never worked for like another like corporate.
Yeah, this is stuff that I know nothing about, and it really is stuff where I'm like, I still don't really have any aspirations of like getting into like upper management at a restaurant. I think if I was going to have upward mobility in mind at a day job, I would probably try to get something more like what you're doing, like go to like an office where I could be looking at maybe an increase in salary and benefits and stuff like that. But like, yeah. If I'm going to work in a restaurant, I actually prefer to be a server where I can, like, have days off.
Freedom.
And days off. And, like, the money's still pretty good. And, you know, it's really on my terms. But,
yeah.
But, yeah. I'm getting
a lot of people like stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, that's why people do – they love, like, Uber and Lyft and Uber Eats. Like, that's why those companies run, is because people like to be their own boss.
Which, that's another thing, too, where it's like, if that's what you're doing, too, that, again, I think – all these principles apply, where it's like, okay, but how are you going to be like the dopest Uber in town? Like, always make sure your car is clean, like that you've always That's got true. Like the
water bottles, and the iPhone cord.
Yeah, like the charging cords, yes. The like that you're gonna make, you know, and that's like up to you as to like, are you gonna make this the bare minimum type thing where you're like, I pick you up and I drive you where you need to drive and that's it? Or are you going to like really make sure that you're giving exemplary service, not just for the extra tip, because the tip might not change regardless,
yeah.
But like just so that you have a more fulfilling experience doing the job, you know, that it's not,
yeah.
It doesn't become so. I think that there's always value in just trying to do whatever you do in an excellent way. And that's something I found is like, I haven't necessarily been making grundles more on tips or in money since I've started this, but I found that I just get more fulfillment out of like going into my job every single day with the objective of being the best possible server I can be that day and the best possible like coworker and making sure I'm not leaving anyone hanging and that I'm like doing the things I say I'm going to do and like accomplishing the tasks that are assigned to me wholeheartedly and not half-assed, you know,
yeah.
And making sure that I'm really being impeccable with my word.
I mean, I think it's, yeah, it's just more fulfilling to be that way, you know?
Yeah.
It's and if we're going to spend, I mean, we spend most of our lives at work, especially when you're working in a corporate job, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. I go in at this time and I leave at this time. I take lunch at this time, you know, whatever. And so if you're spending most of your life somewhere being mediocre, like, that is just not good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, even with a waiting job, if you're working, like, 30 hours a week or something, like, still a lot of your time is spent at work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I decided, like, I really like wellness and health and wellness. And actually, I knew someone from Utah because I went to school there, mm-hmm. and you are from Utah. You actually think you know who I used. I don't know. Anyways, I'm not name dropping them. Okay, can I name drop on the pod?
Yeah, I might have Stephanie over on the show.
Yeah, you should.
So, yeah.
So, Stephanie, I didn't even really know Stephanie, mm-hmm. but I knew that she, like, did events and had giveaways. So, when I decided to do that International Day of Yoga.
I'm trying to get Stephanie on
Stephanie,
the show.
So Stephanie, come be on the podcast.
Stephanie, come be on the podcast. Stephanie, come on. Come over here.
You should have Brad, too. Brad's a good one.
Brad who?
Her partner.
Oh, well,
yeah.
They can come over together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Stephanie, Brad, get over here. What are you doing? Come on, you guys. I know you're just over there doing push-ups somewhere.
Exactly.
Doing a bunch of sit-ups, doing planks and push-ups and sit-ups. Get over here. Tell me how I can get in better shape, and let's do a podcast.
Yes, so Stephanie and Brad. So I didn't really know this about them, but I follow Stephanie on Instagram, and basically I wanted to make my International Day of Yoga event really fun. And so I reached out to her. I was like, how do you do all of this? And she kind of gave me some ideas, but it was too last minute. Like, it's not like something you do in a day. But also, like, Stephanie and Brad have a lot of connections with the health and wellness world because that's what they do.
Yeah.
So I ended up making a beautiful PowerPoint to show my boss and the HR team of a concept I had that was a wellness week, because I started talking with Stephanie about it. And
so proactive.
Yes.
And you're doing homework, so, too. You're, like, going in with, like, the pitch ready.
Jesus. Yeah. So, well, that's the thing. So, like, you have to, like, have the answer to. That's one thing I've learned from this job, too. Just, like, in life in general, like, just don't go up to anyone with any questions unless you've done all of your research of, like, how could I do this myself? Have I thought of this? Have I asked this question? Like, don't go to your boss and be like, can I do this? But you don't have...
But you don't have an answer of how you're going to do it.
Exactly. Like, it just makes no sense. It's a waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, figure out logistics.
Like Cats, the movie.
Like Cats. They just wanted to do it, and they didn't even ask how they were going to do it. And then, like, they were like, so, Tom, what how are we going to make the cats, like, how is we going to bring this to life? Are we going to do, like, the makeup, like, from the show? And he was like, oh, I don't know. Like, what do you guys think? And they were like, I guess we could do, like, digital cats. He's like, yeah, like, you know, like, Avatar. They're like, not really. Like people in motion capture suits, but, like.
I literally turned to Carlton and was like, this was a waste of everyone's time. Including mine.
Of everyone's time. It was, I can't believe that they got the people that they got to do it. That they went to, like, training, cat training camp to, like.
Did they?
Yeah, they did, like, a few workshops of just, like, and I, the best story that I heard was, I read this in an article, and it was, like, one of the dancers said that they were doing this workshop to learn how to move like cats. And it wasn't even dancing. It was just moving around and being cats and, like, playing with each other. And one of them, they said that Ian McKellen was kind of keeping to himself. And they said one of the, I can't remember who it was, but they were like, I went up to try to, like, engage Ian McKellen in kind of a little, like, playful cat thing. And I kind of got close to him, and he turned to me and said, I'm not ready. I'm still thinking about it. Go away. So he was, like, very, I mean, he was taking it seriously, I guess, and trying to, but also probably was very, like,
what
I'm embarrassed
is happening
by this. And
well, yeah, Cats was my senior show in college. Mm-hmm. Like, I love Cats. And so I'm not even a hater of Cats, because, you know, like, shows you like them more
cats.
When you're in them,
yeah.
Too. Uh-huh. Like, it's like, oh, like, I have a connection to the song. Remember that time when we did this during that scene? That kind of thing. So I was excited for it. I was like, screw the haters.
No,
I'm going to like
have
it.
I things that I was looking forward to. And one of the things that I love the most is Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. And then they changed
it.
And I was like, literally, fuck off. Like,
they changed the song.
Because I also love this, too, that it's like, of all the things that were problems in the movie, the thing that they were like, you know what we gotta change, though, for the movie is the melody to Mungo Jerry.
Like, the most random song to, like, change.
That's the thing that, yeah, they were like, everything else is perfect. Everything else is spot on. We've nailed it. This is a picture-perfect adaptation, except I've never liked the melody to that song. And I'm like, okay, there's lots of issues with Cats the Musical. The smallest issue is the melody to Mungo Jerry. And in fact, I quite like the
yeah,
melody.
Yeah, that's a good one.
To Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. And the new melody that they had was awful.
It was,
and
like, yeah.
It was very unmemorable. Yeah. And it was like they were trying to make it really sleuthy and jazzy. But, like, I'm sorry, it's Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer.
Yeah.
That's it. All right? So either if you're going to do it, if you're going to do the whole fucking thing, if you're going to do Jenny Anydots, if you're going to do Mistopheles, if you're going to, then, like, just do Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer, okay? You know? All right.
Okay.
Okay. So you go in with the pitch for Wellness Week.
Yes.
And unlike Tom Hooper, you have all the answers. You've got,
yes,
a PowerPoint.
I have all the answers. Yeah. So, I mean, and not all of them. I mean, I met with my boss a couple of times to edit my pitch before we went to, like, HR with their budget and everything. So, and we, like, edited it and all this stuff. And anyways, so the reason I brought up how I use Stephanie and Brad, too, is because I feel like one of my favorite things about the position that I've grown into, for example, I mean, I've told you this already, but I'll tell the people of the podcast, is that, like, I hired my friend Mel to teach yoga, and we're doing Meditation March, where we bring meditation in once a week for all of March.
I really want to work at a place that has Meditation March.
Exactly. And, yeah. So does everyone else. And so that's what I'm trying to create an experience for the, like, I genuinely care about the employee experience and my job, and like that's something that I'm passionate about. It's something I've always cared about. Well, and I keep getting off topic of what I was going to say, but basically I think it's good to not feel like I didn't go and try to teach yoga to the employees and be like, oh, I know yoga well enough. Like, I've taken yoga for years and years, which I have, but I'm, number one, I'm not certified. And number two, it's like bringing in these really talented people, because a lot of times employees don't like to work out, number one, in general at work, but they don't like to have their coworker watch them do it. So they like to have an outsider come in and do it for them, like, watch them and instruct them and everything. Mm-hmm. So I love promoting people like Stephanie, like Mel, like Brad. Like, everyone loved Brad. When we had wine yoga, Brad was the wine pourer, and everyone was like, where's Brad at? Like, every time we have yoga now.
Wine yoga, my God.
It's the best. Vino and vinyasa.
Vino and vinyasa. Oh my goodness. I'll never know the pleasures of wine yoga.
You will.
But I can imagine. Well,
you can have goat yoga exists too.
What's that?
But we can't bring goats in.
Goat yoga?
Yeah, like apparently like balance. I don't know. I've never done it, but it seems
you
awesome.
You like utilize goats and you do like positions with goats?
No, they like literally just walk around.
They're just there.
Yeah.
It's just yoga, but there's goats.
It's awesome. I want to go.
All right.
Like,
fine.
LA does everything, right? So that's another thing. So we're located.
That's some whack-ass LA shit. That's like goat yoga. Like, calm down, everybody. Everyone calm down.
It's fun. People pay a lot of money for that stuff.
Oh, and I'm like, sure they do.
They have, I'm trying to think of stuff. Like, I mean, just even, we're probably going to bring in like a Reiki class, like a group Reiki class, which is like energy healing and just stuff like that. So anyways, I just, number one, I think promoting your friends and like Stephanie, I didn't even know Stephanie before I moved here. I didn't even know her when I asked her to help me. And
did Carlton?
Yeah, Carlton went to school with Stephanie, so knew her kind of. And
if anyone's listened to the episode with Carlton Bluford, Sarah's Carlton's partner.
Yes.
I don't know if I'll remember to mention that in the intro, but yeah.
That's okay. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I didn't even really know Stephanie and like took a leap of faith. And I think it's really cool to be in a position where you can promote people and take a leap of faith on people.
That's what I like doing here at the podcast. Yeah. I like having people come on and like talk about whatever the thing that they're working on. Cause yeah.
Yeah, it's cool to like in that it gives you ideas for moving forward and it creates a relationship where like maybe I'm not using that person all the time, but number one, they can refer people, or number two, something random will come up. Like I said, like I got a gig for Mel for a bridal shower. Mm-hmm. Like she, just because she had taught at my company, they were like, hey, do you think you could find someone? Because they knew, like, I brought in a couple of different people. And so, yeah, I guess I just, yeah, I don't know. That's all. I can't remember any more questions.
What, if any, I mean, I think you've talked about some stuff like this, but, like, do you have any pitfalls that, like, trip you up at work that maybe get in the way of you having, like, the most optimal day or the most optimal experience? Like, I know in the restaurant industry, and the reason why I have to, it has to be a daily commitment. Like, I have to meditate for me to have the best possible shift, I have to meditate in the morning, and I also have to, like, really set an intention of being of service to my guests, to my coworkers, and to my managers, and to all the cooks on the line. Like, I really have to like have a service mind oriented mindset and try to just be of service to people, because I can really get tripped up. There's things throughout the day that I just know are going to happen. Like, someone's going to speak to me with the wrong tone.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's a coworker or like a guest, some guest is going to say some dumbass thing to me that's going to, or someone's going to like
not tip me for a really dumb reason, or for like a, like we had a miscommunication that they didn't really like give me a chance to explain, or to like, something's gonna happen that's gonna trip me up and going to make it hard for me to have that optimal experience at work. Do you have stuff like that that you get tripped up on?
Yes. Every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day I'm like, I don't get paid enough for this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think the more customer service like oriented your job is, the more people
do you deal
are
going with, like,
to
clients
piss you off.
Or customers at all?
No, but I deal with the employees. So right okay. now we have 160 employees in headquarters, and I also
because customers are just
We have people come in, but actually normally the guests are very nice because I only deal with them for a second. So I'm like, hi, how are you? You know, and like give them parking validation, and then they go, you know, grab them coffee or whatever. But even sometimes like someone will be like, actually, yeah, do you mind grabbing me a coffee? And I'm like, sure. Like, and I'm like, why did I get a college degree to get someone coffee? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it just,
totally.
Like, some days it will. But sometimes I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, whatever. I'll just, like, skip on over to the coffee machine. But, like, some days it just really... Because there was this one day, too, like, someone asked me for 2 cups of coffee. Like, after they got their first, they were like, can I have another one? Like, that was really great. And I was like,
it is so funny how the smallest little things. So someone's like I'll pour someone coffee and then I'll like go away and I'll watch them not drink it for like 10 minutes and I'll watch them not drink it. And then when they drink it, they call me over. They're like, this isn't very hot. And I'm like, and I'm just kind of like, I'm seething red hot. And I just go, oh, okay. I'll go pour it out and I'm going to get you a new one. Okay. We're going to get you a new hot one. But in my head, I want to be like, do you know it was hot when I poured it? When I poured it, did you see when I brought it over that it was steaming? And then you sat there and you and it just like that, like just that little thing where it's like, it's so simple. It's just, I go, okay, I'll go dump it and I'll pour you a brand new cup.
Yeah.
And maybe you just sip this one before it gets cool, you know, because it does. That's just what happens. It gets cool. But like little things like that are always threatening my serenity at work, are always threatening my, like, good vibes. I always start every shift with, like, the best intentions and the best vibes. And it really can be teeny tiny little shifts in tone. The way a person, one of the cooks on the line just gives me, like, a certain attitude where I'm like, hold on, we don't speak to each other that way. I don't speak to you that way. So why are you speaking to me that way, you know? I get really tripped up by fairness. If I'm like, if I see someone who's not working as hard as me, or who I perceive is like not doing their fair share of like the side work, or like, I'll get, you know, that's a thing where I have to really try to focus on staying in my lane and just worrying about myself and being like, don't worry about whether or not someone else, you think someone else has polished as much silver as you has or have, or you think someone else is giving the same amount of effort as you, like worry about yourself. But what kind of, do you run into stuff like that with dealing with employees?
It can be the dumbest stuff, or it can just be people directly treating you with no kindness whatsoever. Like,
yeah, that can,
like,
that sets me off in the real world. It sets me off at work.
Just
like rudeness just lights me up.
And some people, like, just like even simple things, because especially now, so I manage a remote office, and someone said, can I get a key card for Joe or whatever, you know, like, just make up a name. I can't even remember who it was for. Can we get a key card for Joe so that he can get into this office? And I said, I can ask. I have to request that from my boss. Can you tell me why you need it? Is Joe going to be there a lot? I asked like 3 questions.
And these are all standard. You're just doing your job. You're like asking
like it was, and it's a brand new office. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know the answers yet. I've never even physically been there, and I manage it.
Right.
So, and the girl comes up to me and she's like, what's the problem here? And I said, there's no problem here. I just need you to answer my questions or I'm not going to get the card for you. And that's me now. Like, now I can be like, have you ever watched The Office where he's like, Michael Scott goes up to Daryl in the warehouse and he's like really rude to him and Daryl goes, start over. Do you remember that? I don't remember what he says, but I do that now. Like, I basically, I don't do it exactly like that because I'm such a like bubbly, nice person. So if I...
That's also sort of one of the benefits of proving your worth at a place. Yes. I don't want to say this. I want to say that my goal is to not have these run-ins with my coworkers as much as possible. My goal is to not have angry run-ins with my coworkers. But one of the benefits of making yourself a little less dispensable by working hard is maybe you can get away with having an interaction like that where it's and you don't have to be thinking, shit, am I going to get called in and get fired for that, you know?
Yeah, well, and also just like in a corporate setting, when people treat each other like that, like it's not tolerated. Yeah. It's like that's something potentially I could go to HR and be like, hey, this person is treating me disrespectfully. Like, I'm not going to work with them. This is a toxic environment, like stuff like that.
Absolutely.
But now I really do stick up for myself a lot more than I used to. I think that comes with age, and not that I'm old or anything, but it does. It comes with age and experience and dealing with the same people, learning their quirks, learning their, like, what they're going to respond.
It's interesting to me, though, because in that particular instance of, like, you're just doing your job. You're just asking the three questions. And this happens all the time at my job where it's like, I can see outside of the scenario how a miscommunication occurred, but, like, there wasn't time to recognize that a miscommunication was occurring, because in that person's mind, what they were probably hearing is that you were like, well, why do you need it? What do you need it for? And it felt like it was maybe a more scrutinizing tone, and that you weren't just doing your job. You were being like extra suspicious of them, they maybe felt, like interrogated or attacked, or like you were unfairly kind of questioning them and maybe profiling them or who knows what. You know, I had a
situation. That is so true.
And there's like these miscommunications that happen where it's like, I had a table today where it was these two men who were wearing like spring colored shirts, and we had such lovely weather today, and I was in a very good mood. All my tips were very good today, and I was like kind of chatting it up with all my tables and being very friendly with everyone, and I was feeling myself as a server. I was like, I'm really like killing it today. The weather's great. And so I see these guys' shirts and I'm like, I love your shirts. I love both of your shirts. They're really matching the weather. And both of them were like, what does that mean? And I was like, oh, I just mean I like your shirts. And they were like, are you joking? Are you making fun of us? And I was like, oh, no, like yours matches your eyes. And I just honestly, I think you look great. And the guy like kind of looked at me really weird with like, you know, he wasn't sure how to respond. And then I kept trying to kind of be nice to them the whole time. And then when they left, I said, well, enjoy the weather, gentlemen. And they left me $0. They
I can't didn't even look at you. I'm so scared.
And I was so confused. And also I was so fixated on like, I wanted to find where they had gone and follow them and be like, hold on, explain to me what you think just happened. Like, do you think that I was making fun of you, or do you think that they were a couple, I could tell, and I wanted to be like, did you think that maybe I was like hitting on you, or what miscommunication just happened that made you think I was that I was being rude? Because I, in my mind, I was being above and beyond nice.
Yeah,
being,
like you were giving them a compliment.
I was being extremely like friendly and like engaging them. And I could tell right away that they weren't hearing what I was saying the way that I was saying it. But I didn't want it. I can't in that instance at the table go, sorry, let's start over. I think you're hearing me. You know, I just was like, I'll just keep being nice and hopefully they'll feel that I'm
not being weird.
That I'm being sincere.
Yeah.
And that I'm being kind.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that the end of the interaction was we had a miscommunication and they felt, I mean, who knows? Maybe they're going to like write a Yelp review about it and I might hear from my manager and they'll be like, did you say something weird to these guys? And I'll be like, no. I literally, like, let's look at the cameras and I'll literally tell you what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you'll see me smiling and, you know, like, but,
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of working in a job where that's not 100% customer facing, because you don't get to know these people, right? So they don't know your boundaries. You don't know their boundaries. But in my position, it's definitely more me creating boundaries over time with certain people, especially like if you have higher ups, especially higher ups assistants type thing, yeah. Like where they're like, well, I support a C-level exec, so you need to do everything I ask without question, which is not how the world works. Yeah. Like, everyone has a process and a procedure, and if we don't follow it, for some people, then other people are going to think we like them more or like them less. But yeah, I mean, there's tons of things, and it's just like, I just let things roll off my back so much more now than I used to, because I gained confidence in my role. People know that what I do is important. They know that I have a boss that supports me. They know that I'm going to speak up for myself. And that's something I've definitely developed over time, and that I think is important to have especially in a position like mine. But yeah, I mean, I order bagels all the time. So we do this thing called Treat Yourself Tuesday.
Oh, you've got everything. You got Wellness Week. You got Meditation March. You got Treat Yourself Tuesday.
Yeah, I just come up with random stuff.
I want to come work at your office. Can I just be, I don't know. Can I be an errand boy? Can I be an errand boy and.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, and bagels are cheap, right? Like, it's a really cheap, like, fun thing to just be like, okay, the first Tuesday of every month, we're going to treat yourself, whatever. Mm-hmm. So at one point, like, Einstein's Bagels, call out to at Einstein's Bagels, does not listen to my order. Like, I will tell them, like, okay, cut them in half. Well, if you say cut in half, I guess like that does, they'll start cutting them in fourths, because I guess they already pre-slice the bagels and they'll cut them in half again. So then they're in four pieces. And at first when I did that, because I've been doing this for 2 years, right? Yeah. So potentially
so they're cutting them the other way. They're like slicing them.
Like twice, yeah. They would be like in little force. And so one time, like, I didn't even ask anything. It was one of the first times I'd ever ordered bagels. And they came in force. And people were like, oh, because you always hear people, like, they'll comment on it. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, these are in force. That's nice. Like, I can get multiple bagel flavors
that
now.
That actually is kind of nice to have. Yeah, that actually
yeah,
is kind of
so
nice.
They liked it. Well, then, of course, like, so they said, and then someone who was like a little higher up was like, you should keep ordering them like this. And I said, okay. So I kept ordering them, like purposefully ordering them in force. Well, then everyone's got to say.
You said cut in force, they cut them into eighths.
No, they didn't cut them into eighths, but the employees didn't like them because you can't put them in the normal like bread toasters, like where you have to put it in a lay down toaster. First world problems.
Well, do you guys have a lay-down toaster, like a little roller, do you have that?
We have like the one that's like a toaster oven. So like it's like a flat thing and you like open the little door and put them on there.
Oh, so what the fuck's the problem?
Exactly. So people always just are going to say something. And now like I used to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like I used to apologize all the time just being like, I would even be like, it's Einstein's, like, look, like I would show them the invoice where it told the directions that I had given them and they just didn't follow them. Also, like, they will not include tongs. So people will have to like put their hands in or like, and it falls back on me, right? Because
Einstein's,
I'm the
we're
face.
Trying to prevent an epidemic here in the United States.
God.
Come on.
So yeah, like it's just things like that though, that I used to apologize for, but now I'm like, hey, you guys, like, you don't have to eat these bagels. This is a special treat. And if you don't like them, like, and I try not to be that mean, but honestly, sometimes I probably am. But even the other day, I was like, you guys, if you don't want them, you don't have to eat them. Like, and yeah. I just walked away. And it really is personal in a way. Like, I spent 20 minutes on the phone ordering bagels the other day. And then the first thing someone said was, oh, they aren't sliced all the way. You know, and it's just, yeah. You have to be, I think, also being an employee in that situation, because I don't know if I'll always work in my capacity of like employee engagement and like building teams and all that kind of stuff and just like culture and morale. But I do know that if I'm ever not in that position, the only thing I'll ever say is thank you. Because really, like, having a job just as a basis is a blessing. And if you're showing up to your job and you get all this extra stuff and all you do is complain, the facilities team can and will hate you, and they will purposefully not do things for you.
That's something we learn in theater too, is say thank you to everything.
Yes.
Thank you to notes. Thank you to directions from the stage manager. Everything's thank you. Thank you 5 minutes. Thank you. And I found that in any workspace, please and thank you go such a long way. And it's that tone thing that we're talking about, where it's like just the tone of the way someone talks to you can change everything. You can ask, two people can ask me to do the exact same thing. And if they're just the tone slightly different, where someone comes up and they go, hey, can you check on like the stainless steel over there? It looked like it was a little, and then I go, yeah, sure. And they go, thank you so much, you know? And it's just that tone versus like, the stainless steel was filthy. I don't know whose job it was, but like whoever was supposed to do it, they didn't do a good enough job. And you know, it's like, and it's just kind of, please and thank you go such a long way. Recognizing that everyone's trying their best to like have that sense of purpose at work and like to have a good day at work, and that everyone's combating with the same amount of external factors that are threatening to ruin their day. Mm-hmm. Please and thank you go a very long way. I had a run-in with a busser at my job when I first started there, where it was another one of those miscommunication things where like my section kept getting missed, and I just asked him, I was like, and he was busy, and I said, I know you're busy. Could you, when you get a chance, make it over to my section? And he said, I'll get there when I get there. And he was kind of mad. And then I said, I got kind of mad, and I was like, whoa, hold on. You haven't gotten there all day long. I'm asking nicely. And then it blew up and it became this whole thing. But then his thing at the end of it, I apologized. I said, I'm so sorry about that. And he said, just, you know, please and thank you go a long way. So ever since then, anytime I see him bussing my table or doing anything for me, I always go, hey, thank you so much.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, and it's a simple thing, but like our relationship, I think, is a lot better. We're not buds. We're not friends. That thing, I think, sort of like set it so that we're just,
yeah,
we have tension between us, but I always say thank you, and I think please and thank you go a long way in the workspace, regardless of what your job is, you know?
Yeah, and I think like a lot of people, so I study musical theater, and so a lot of us become office coordinators or like receptionists or whatever. We're like, for lack of a better term, like the bottom of the barrel or like the lowest paid employees there, especially in the tech industry. Yeah. Like, so these people, they
actors
study.
Are always the bottom of the barrel, even when we're acting. Even when we get acting jobs, we're like the people who are the ones who are told what to do, and we say thank you, and we need to be grateful that we have a job, and like we don't have rank, we don't like we don't have weight, we don't get to like, you know, we just say thank you. And anyone who acts like they do have weight or tries to throw their weight around is thought of as an asshole or a diva or a, you know, a like
stands up for themselves.
Yeah, anyone
or
who dares to say, hey, this is, you know, I'm a union actor, and like the union says that you need to give me my break, you know.
Yeah.
You're a diva, you're difficult to work with, you're, you know, so
yeah, so
it's funny.
I think
the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah. We're like always kind of the lower paid people. And there are a lot of people, like, they major in business or they major in engineering or whatever. So when they enter the workforce, they're getting what I call a specialty job. So they're already at the top. They're high earners. They're making a lot of money, even if they are younger. Especially if, like, you're getting a job in the state that you went to school at or whatever, you have these connections already built. So anyways, I say that to say a lot of these people never worked as an office coordinator. Yeah. They were never at the front where, like, a lot of the smart people, they'll be like, yes, Sarah knows everything that happens at this office. Mm. Like, she's the one that you need to know. Like, they'll say that when they start, because it's true. Like, I'm the one who can help you. Like, if you are just starting and are new at my company, I can help you succeed in like the sense of the culture and like being there every day. Maybe not your job.
To know how to do well in this place.
And
you feel very comfortable. And that's another benefit of giving a shit.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you find ever, this is sort of wrapping up here, but do you find ever, I think that one of the fears that I know I had, and I think that maybe creative types who have these lower entry jobs have when it comes to trying harder or investing more of themselves at this job. I used to think, like, if I invest more at my day job and I really invest emotionally and, like, and I really start caring about it, I'm not going to have enough time or emotional investment left over for my artistic projects and my artistic endeavors. Do you find that's true for you at all? I found that it's actually the opposite. Like, I now just take more care in everything that I do, and I, you know, but do you think that investing or caring about your day job means that you won't have time or headspace or emotional bandwidth for creative projects?
I mean, so since I've been out here, I've done like a few auditions, I've taken a few dance classes, and I was in one show, like a community level show.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did the show, I was super busy, but
so I you were spread pretty thin.
Yeah, but I felt like I did a really good job in the show and like got good feedback from the show. And
you did do a good job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I feel like whatever, there's a lot of like self-help type mentor people that say, if you want something, so say for example, if I want to be an actor, I need to be acting all day. I need to be watching videos of actors. I need to be studying scripts. I need to be taking acting class when I go home, yada, 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 yada. And I just have never been that person in general.
Yeah.
I've always been, in fact, I've like one of my, I feel like my deep rooted issues is that I feel like I'm like pretty good at a ton of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm pretty good at acting. I'm pretty good at my day job. I'm pretty good at dancing, that yeah. kind of stuff. But I say that to say I don't necessarily agree that if I want to be an actor, I just have to focus on acting, because as most people who have succeeded, I mean, I've talked to everyone has a different story, but I think acting is a lot about knowing people, and like making money from acting is about knowing people.
Yeah, totally.
And
connections. Absolutely.
And working in an industry where, I mean, there are a ton of people who work with me
mm-hmm.
who majored in acting. They produce things because they make a lot of money and they support the arts. It provides a space for me to potentially film in for free.
Yeah, sometimes if you're a creative type, succeeding at your day job is the best thing you can do for your career.
Yeah.
Where it's like you will now have the financial freedom or like the ability to create work in a way that you would not have if you were doing the rat race of auditioning. And
yeah, and yeah. I mean, I think I could definitely do better in whenever I did my show, I was like, oh, like I'm spending so much time doing this show. I could definitely make it to a dance class or make it to, you know, whatever I want to do. And I can do that because, number one, I can afford it now that I like make more money. And also, yeah, I mean, that's probably not the best advice as an artist, honestly, but I do feel like I use my creative juices in the job that I'm working in now and yeah. have dabbled in the health and wellness field, which I think a lot of musical theater people kind of lean towards anyway.
Yeah.
It's like
very
it's something. Yeah. I mean, yeah. and it's something that I'm interested in general. And I think that even when I announced Wellness Month at the very beginning of the month, people came up and they were like, you were such a great speaker
mm-hmm.
after I announced like something that I was so passionate about and really excited about. So I don't really know what I want to do at the end of the day. I don't know if I desire to be just a working actor. I don't know like what my end goal is. I couldn't tell you right now.
Yeah.
But I don't think that my job, the way that I'm performing there now, is doing anything negative for what my final goal in life will be.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
So yeah. Hell of an answer. Yeah, it's really interesting. It really shows it's telling of my emotional immaturity that it took me so long to like get this. That I honestly, I'm serious. I used to think that people who like gave a shit about the day job, like about the retail job or like the restaurant gig, were such nerds. I was like, or just like boring people. I was like, why do you care about this stupid job? You really care about this? You care about how the shirts are folded? Like, you actually care about that? Like, and the fact that it's taken me this many years to understand that taking pride in whatever you do is just a good thing to do. It just, it's better for you that like you won't have to be so tortured as you go through your day job. If you are, if you have a goal of like striving for excellence at it, and that you might find that, hey, you might discover a calling that you didn't think, you know, what was the calling, or you might find a new route to achieving things that were goals you had, that just doesn't look like the typical one. Because like you said, yeah, most people who succeed in acting, it's because of connections. And also most people who succeed in that way that we're taught what success looks like to the outside world, getting famous and making lots of money, that's a minuscule percentage of people in the arts. That's a minuscule percentage. Most people who are active in the arts and who have an active creative life, and who also are financially well off, have some other job that pays the bills, and they utilize that income to allow them to express themselves in their, you know, other life, you know, their private life, or their you know, their artistic endeavors. And that's the majority of people making art is people who are thriving in some other career.
I used to think that the like day job thing was kind of lame too. Whenever I was in Utah, like when I would see people doing like their shows, like I would be doing shows with people who had like a career and something else, and I was like, how are you doing this? Like, don't you just want to be an actor? And then it's like, womp womp, you have to pay your bills, Sarah, you know. And but I do think like the quote, what's meant for you won't pass you by kind of thing. I think that I don't think that if you're calling, like you said, like you'll find your calling through something. I think that everything has a way of working itself out and aligning.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like that a lot. I like, especially, that's another big part of my spiritual progression or whatever it is over the last couple of years, is like realizing that like there is no timeline that I can set for when certain things are supposed to happen. Like, it's never been on my timeline, and that the more I release that like I've got this many years to make a go of it, it's just kind of like things happen when they happen, and I have to sort of enjoy the place I'm in when I'm in it, and I have to and that includes the job that I'm in. I have to find a way to make the most of wherever I'm at, because I can't always be thinking, well, this job's just temporary and there's something better for me in the future. There might be. And I don't think that it's not to say that we shouldn't be goal-oriented or have aspirations of more money or more, you know.
Yeah, like being destination-minded is like kind of toxic. Like always wanting to get to a final point.
Never being satisfied.
Yeah.
Which is like, it's a fine line. It's a balance because, you do want to be focused on growing and learning more and getting better and progressing, but also you need to have joy in that journey and in that process, you know?
Yeah.
And cool. We did it.
It's great.
We did it. We talked about day jobs.
Don't quit your day job, or do. I don't know. It's up to you.
If your day job's killing you, I guess. I don't know. Just, figure it out. Take it up with
HR.
Yep. Or your therapist or whoever the fuck. Yeah. All right, Sarah. You feel all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for coming over. Sorry it took me so long to get my microphones working or my Logic app to.
Thanks, Austin. Yeah.
All right. Give your puppy a kiss for me when you get home.
Ruff.
Not Carlton, the dog.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. You can give Carlton a kiss for me too if you want.
I will.
Okay. See ya. All right, so there it is.
that's my conversation with Sarah. Sure do like her. She's been a really good pal out here in LA to me and Mary. She and Carlton, we go over to their house a lot, or we did before all of this, to play games and play with their little puppy, Emma. Cutest little puppy. I'm very jealous that Carlton and Sarah get to be quarantined with that cute puppy right now. Wish I was over there. But yeah, nice little thing to keep in mind as we prepare to, at some point, head back to work. And for those of us who are still working through this, you know, we salute you. Those frontline healthcare workers, those warriors, those people working in grocery stores and pharmacies and the people who are unlucky enough to be working the drive-thru at a fast food joint, braving the germ-infested cash and coins that come through there. Because God forbid America should have to go 3 weeks without Big Macs and Whoppers. I mean, yeah. But, you know, something to keep in mind as you go to work through this, or as you prepare to go back to work. You know, I think when the time comes for me to go back to work, I am going to be excited and relieved and ready to get back to my job. But I gotta say, and I don't know if any of you out there are feeling this way, I mean, in between the, you know, intermittent panic attacks about not only my financial insecurity, but just kind of the financial security of the global economy, I am kind of enjoying this little retreat, you know? I am enjoying the extra time that I have to meditate and exercise and just kind of like work on projects. It's been kind of nice, I gotta say. But I will be looking forward to getting back to work when that time comes. I've started this thing that I said on the show. I wanted to hear from you. If you had any issues with anything that we say on the show, or if you just want to participate in the conversation, I want to reiterate that the way I'd like to hear from you specifically for those things, so there's the reviews that you can write, where you can leave a 5-star review, review the show, and I'll read it, and I'll review you back. But if you have an issue with something we talked about on the show, or if you just want to participate in the discussion, or just add something to the discussion that you think that popped into your head while you were listening, do that by DMing me on Instagram. Find the People Pleaser Podcast Instagram. If you look up People Pleaser Podcast on Instagram, you'll find it. And message me there with those, and I'll read those on the show. I'm saying this because someone, I think, was trying to respond to me the way that I had asked for responses, and they went onto the Apple Podcast and they left kind of a nasty review about the last episode, and it almost seems kind of like a troll, which, hey, I'm all here for that. I was talking to a friend a while back when we were talking about kind of how we know a song of ours is doing well, or like an EP is doing well, when someone we don't know comments on it and says, like, this sucks, or like, this is terrible, because that means that it's reaching a wider audience, and that it's reaching a wide enough audience that people are kind of looking at it with that, like, kind of inhuman lens of just like the internet troll, and that means it's getting wider circulation. So getting trolled is a good thing. But I think I did get my first maybe troll on the Apple Podcasts app. Someone left a review saying that, you know, they Googled stuff that I guess my last guest was saying, and that he was incorrect, and we should do fact checks here. First of all, to that person, if you were genuinely trying to participate in the conversation the way that I had asked, I appreciate it. Reach out to me on Instagram again with your concerns, and be a little bit more specific. Let me know specifically what we said that you took issue with. Second of all, no one on my show ever claims to be an expert in anything. Even my friend Danny Calderon, who came on last week, I think he started off the interview by saying he's not an expert in neuroscience. He has a bachelor's degree in neuroscience, and he works in the field of neuroscience. And most of the episode, I think we spent a good amount of the episode speculating and kind of just theorizing on what could potentially be possible with the brain. but if you have specific issues, you can message me on Instagram and let me know your specific issues so I can respond to them. I can't really respond to someone just saying, like, you said a lot of stuff that wasn't accurate. Like, I need to know what specifically so we can make it part of the conversation. But I do want to hear from all of you out there. Listenership has gone back up over the last week, so that's great. It's great to have you back, everyone. Yeah, let's all just keep in touch with each other and just keep it rocking through this this new era, this new world we're living in. It's scary, but kind of cool, kind of exciting in a weird way, just kind of cool to be experiencing anything other than the norm, I guess, maybe? I don't know. Looking for silver linings. I'll shut up now. I think that's all for this episode. Cool. People Pleaser is written, edited, produced, and hosted by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music by me. You can find more of my music at austin-archer.com or by looking up Austin Archer on Apple Podcast or Apple Music, sorry, or Spotify. I've got a couple new singles out on Apple Music and Spotify that are recent. Those singles and this podcast are all mixed and mastered by Marmalade Music. You can use Marmalade Music for your audio project. You can go to marmalademusicslc.com, tell them that you listen to People Pleaser, and get 20% off your first project. Again, that's marmalademusicslc.com. Let Chrissy Bear over at Marmalade know that you love People Pleaser and that you are a big fan of his work on the show, and he'll give you 20% off your first project. How about that, huh? Okay. That's everything. Love you all so much. Okay, bye-bye.